Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The text is Isaiah 35, verse 8. On page 10, I have the text presented and in different translations. The ESV, English Standard Version. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Now please note the last part of this verse that I've highlighted. Some ESV Bibles contain this asterisk with an alternative translation of the highlighted portion. It says, if they are fools, they shall not wander on it. The Beck, an American translation, offers this translation. No fool will wander there. The New American Standard Bible translation states, and fools will not wander on it. The NIV, New International Version, presents, wicked fools will not go about on it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the coming King, the promised Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are relatively few verses in God's Word which remain uncertain. But in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 35, verse 8, we have encountered one of them. The verse is about the way of salvation and the way of deliverance. It is referred to as a highway, the way of holiness, the holy way, or the highway of holiness. We are informed as to who will travel on it and who will not travel on it. It is a startling and an important scripture belonging to the eschatological, end time, last things, word of the Lord, and the now and the not yet framework that helps us to understand the scriptures such as these, applying both to today and to the glorious last day when Jesus Christ will come again in glory. Now, as I've already begun to intimate, this verse certainly contains clear facets. For example, we know that the unclean will not travel on this highway of holiness and salvation. We also know that some people do and will travel on this highway. That is, the unclean are off the road, and seemingly the clean stay on that road. The uncertain part comes in the last part of Isaiah 35:8. This is the part I've highlighted for you. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is currently leaning on the ESV as its recommended text. So our publishing company, CPH, has prepared our bulletin covers with the ESV text. So in effect, the recommended English translation of the Hebrew today is, even if they are fools, they will not go astray. That is, it's easy to read and to understand the verse as saying at first glance that even fools are going to travel on this highway that leads to salvation. Now, there have been many attempts to justify this translation. Martin Luther wanted to treat the word fools as meaning simpletons, who in the eyes of the world are foolish, for they believe in the word of God, which is also considered foolish by the world's standards. Thus, these fools are only fools from a worldly perspective. But from the perspective of faith, these people are actually wise. A later Lutheran theologian takes an even more simplified approach. These so-called fools are even the most unlearned, quote unquote. From a completely alternative standpoint, both the Greek translation of the Old Testament and the ancient church father Tertullian treats the word fools as the dispersed. The Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, is the most generous of all the translations. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray on this highway. Again, the ESV translation that has been commended to us in our bulletin cover takes this approach. The ESV Study Bible defends it by saying, the highway is so clearly marked that not even fools can miss it. In my humble estimation, dear Christians, these are simply wrong and for important reasons. Number one, first, Hebrew frequently employs chiastic structures or parallelisms to stress points. In this case, where the text is actually saying that fools will not be on this highway, it's entirely consistent with the first part that says that the unclean will not be on this highway. These are parallel and complementary ideas. The unclean and the fools will not be on this royal highway. Secondly, the actual word used for fools in the Hebrew is almost always, if not always, a word that means fools in the sense of the morally bad, who despise wisdom and who despise discipline. The word book of the Old Testament states, the vast majority of the examples is in the negative, as in having corruption, moral perversion, or insolence to what is sinful rather than mental stupidity. Lastly, this meaning is entirely consistent with the clear passages of Scripture. Revelation 21 is clear. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Okay, why does any of this matter? It should matter to us a great deal. Because what appears to be the actual meaning, that those who are unclean and foolish in the sense of having moral sin will not be on the highway of salvation. That is, what appears to be the correct translation produces the starkest, and if we're honest, the most terrifying law. The fact of the matter is that you and I are the unclean ones, just like King David, who had to pray to the Lord to cleanse him from his sin, who prayed that the Lord would purge him from hyssop with hyssop so that he would be clean. The only reason King David prayed this way was because he was in fact in the condition of being unclean. What about foolishness in the sense of moral sin and moral failure? St. Paul describes his great battle with sin. He confesses doing what he does not want to do, that which he knew was wrong to do, that which he hated to do. And yet, that was what he did. And it caused him to cry out, confessing his sinful condition. These words describe you, Christian, and they describe me. And according to Isaiah 35:8, we are those disqualified from being on the highway of salvation. In this respect, the correct non-watered down version of Isaiah 35:8 is horrifying. And if we were left with only this, we would surely spend our time denying the faith and running from God. Though it would assuredly be in vain, for who can run from God? But we would in fact already be in a state of hopelessness if this was all that we were left with. Remember, however, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all have turned aside. There is none who does good, not even one. Don't you see? Since all are sinners, then those who are nevertheless on the highway are also sinners. That is, this verse also guarantees hope for sinners. This verse guarantees hope for you. So the real difference is this. Some sinners are on the highway. Other sinners are not on the highway. Isaiah says as much in passages both before and after Isaiah 35:8. Isaiah 11:16. We read together. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there was in Israel. But were not these remnant people of God also sinners? They most certainly were. But God provided a highway for them anyway. Let's read Isaiah 51:10. Was it not thou who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway? But those who departed from Egypt and traveled on the pathway, the highway, through the Red Sea, were they not also sinners too? They most certainly were. But God provided a highway for them as well. The focus then, dear Christian, is not on comparing people, but on knowing our relationship with the highway. It is all about the highway. It is the highway that impacts our true status. To be on the right road or on the right highway, as we all know, makes all the difference in the world. It quite simply determines where you will wind up. To be apart from the right highway is to be lost. It is to be overcome by the status of being unclean and foolish. Because under such circumstances, you are then left to yourself. And if left to yourself, you are surely lost. To be on the right highway, however, changes your status. The person on the right highway is not better than the person on the wrong highway. The person moving towards the right direction is not superior to the person moving in the wrong direction. But to be on the right road, the right highway, impacts everything in your life. In the summer of 1989, Tracy traveled ahead of me to Denver, Colorado, while I wrapped up things at the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, before my vicarage here in California. She arrived safely, but in a very short time, everything changed. I won't go into details, but all of a sudden, she had to be rushed to the hospital, and we were facing a family emergency. What happened next seems like a blur. I called professors to make other arrangements to complete my classes. I called a friend to help me load up the U-Haul truck in record time. In a matter of just a few hours, I was flying down the highway. There was a highway that led from Fort Wayne, Indiana, to Denver, Colorado,
about 1,150 miles, 17 hours to travel. I will never, ever forget that trip on the highway that delivered me to the hospital and by my wife's side. One family member was shocked to see how fast I arrived. I was definitely on the right highway. Your Savior ensured that he too was on the right highway, the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Sorrows, that led him to Calvary. It was his highway for establishing your forgiveness and your peace with God. That highway was the basis for the Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming of himself, "I am the way, the holy way, the highway of holiness." We do not make it holy. He is the way. He is holy. Jesus is your highway. But hold on. Don't miss this part. Just as I had connections from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Denver, Colorado, Jesus has established connections to himself. The holy highway includes the word of Christ and the sacraments of Christ. These are means and connectors and highways that keep you on the path. Chapter 34 and 35 of Isaiah are really one prophecy. Chapter 34 is a threat from God against the nations generally, while Edom is singled out as representing the enemies of God's people. But chapter 34 is also a general threat even against his own people, Israel, for being unfaithful. Remember, we are all sinners. Indeed, in time, God's people would be exiled to Babylon. But then, there is Isaiah 35. We have the answer from God. A highway would be provided for God's people. A highway of deliverance from exile to freedom. There would be hope given to God's people even when they were in a state of hopelessness. We know that our futures in this fallen world include hardships, occasions when we must move very frantically on our man-made highways to address our serious needs. But when you enter into the highway, which is Christ, the way, you end up merging with him. You become united to him, just as you have already been buried with him in baptism and raised in his life, which is a highway to eternal life. You're one with him through his holy supper as he incorporates you into the highway of holiness, and your status has changed. You are no longer counted among the unclean. For to be in Christ is to be counted among the clean. You are clean now because Christ has put you into himself. And when God sees you remaining in his Son through word and sacrament, then you are no longer in the eyes of God considered among the unclean or the foolish. But you are now declared among the clean and the wise, not for any wisdom in yourself, but on account of Jesus, the clean one, the wise one, the highway to God, to life, to hope, and to eternal love. Thank God for your highway. And here's the real beauty of all this. You now know the way for preparing for Christmas, for preparing for his glorious second coming. It is to be found on the highway. It is to be found in Christ today. And that's clear, this, dear Christian, is exactly where you are. Jesus has come, putting you into himself. You're now on the highway, and in him, you are clean, and you are staying right on course. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.
We rise to confess our faith together.